The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Mox, here with Will Brinson and John Breach, the Brinsonator and Breachapalooza. I saw that it saw down there for you guys. This is day one of 2023 free agency show. Make sure you join us all week long to keep up with all of the free agent signings. Also, remember to like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube page. And for everyone listening to the audio version only, make sure that you download, follow, and leave a five-star review for us and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. Brinsonator and Breachapalooza, what a day. What a day.
Yeah, fun day. By the way, you can. We also go by in my family when like more than three of us get together. It's called Brinsanity. So you feel free to use that if you want.
I like that term.
I thought it's not usually a complimentary. We don't have to get into who coined it. I would say that today was a fun day, but like relatively slow. I thought compared to maybe years past, and I do kind of. Miss, I'll say this, I kind of miss the halcyon days of no legal tampering when there was just buzz and rumors and innuendo the first 2 days. And then at 4 o'clock, everything went ham. And it was like insanity at 4 o'clock. And you had no idea it was going to hit. Like Jimmy Graham's been traded for Max Unger. And like all this stuff goes down. We can still get that on Wednesday. But I thought, you know, maybe the bigger theme here, Breach, is that it was like weird positions got paid today.
Well, I would say the flip side of what you were just talking about when everything just goes haywire on Wednesday is that we even saw that last year. I'm a Bengals guy. Alex Kappa signed a contract or agreed to a contract at 1:01 or 12:01 p.m. last year, 1 minute into it. This year, I feel like it's been kind of slow. Maybe that's because we've spent 23 hours waiting for an Aaron Rodgers deal to happen. This is like when you're at the airport and you're expecting someone to come pick you up like your ride home and they just never come. And you're just like, yo, bro, where are you? And they're just not there. That's where we are with Aaron Rodgers. Like, yo, man, when's this going to happen?
Well, and the other thing with the Aaron Rodgers stuff, too, is that because it's such a huge deal, like when it actually happens, I don't know if you were watching, like I got two TVs going ahead, like, you know, I had ESPN and obviously HQ on my third screen on my laptop. But like I had the NFL Network and ESPN going, they both had their specials. And it's like there were moments where, like Adam Schefter was just not even like the 5 minute stretches where he's not even looking at anyone else. He's just on his phone. And Field Yates would be like, Adam, anything else? You're like, and just, you know, and then there was one moment where like Mike Garofalo on NFL Network answered her phone call. I was like, I'm on TV. I'll call you right back. And then Tom Pelissero tried to make fun of him by pretending to answer a phone call. But then Ian Rappaport actually answered a phone call and stood up and left and like unplugged his stuff. It feels like everyone is. Yeah, it's like you never know. Everyone's on high alert for this.
One's pressing ignore on their phone calls until this Rodgers deal happens. Right.
No way. So, at what point do Jets fans start to panic?
Right now.
I mean, several hours. Now's it.
I mean,
and I know we were talking about this pre-show a little bit, and Brinson, you had said that you think that maybe the news is going to drop on the Pat McAfee show. Is that what Rodgers is waiting for? Which to me is just a jerk move.
I actually hadn't thought of that until just right before we started, but it makes a ton of sense. Or at the very least, if he's going to let the Jets know, maybe he does it after the Pat McAfee show, because everyone is going to tune into McAfee show. He's on there on Tuesdays. Tuesdays, Aaron, and then you get I bet they have the highest numbers ever. If it hadn't been announced, and even if the deal breaks before then, it's gonna be like, what is Aaron going to say about his time in Green Bay? What is he going to say about the Jets? Like, it's a win-win for McAfee on that Tuesday slot. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was held out through then. This is a guy who, it's a weird one. Like, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's earned the right to take however long he wants. At the same time, it's like, do you not remember exactly what you went through 15 years ago when Aaron Rodgers, when Brett Favre did the C Rodgers, I don't know, man, maybe move it along a little quicker.
And we should say real quick, we're recording Monday night, and that if you're listening to this in the audio feed on Tuesday morning, an Aaron Rodgers trade could be done by then. We have no idea when it's going to happen.
No idea when it's going to happen. All right, so let's talk some winners and losers of the first day of free agency. I guess starting with the winners, I mean, the Bears probably had one of the biggest wins. They had the number one overall, traded for DJ Moore. They also got the ninth pick overall and the 61 pick overall, plus first rounder in 2024 and 2025 second rounder. How are you guys feeling about the Bears? Bears fans must be pretty stoked.
So it's weird. I listed the Bears as a winner originally. I was making fun of the Bears and got yelled at by some people for it. Told me to shut up. It's fine. They're friends of mine. But the Bears are, I think, a winner because they had all this cap space. They had the number one pick, as you point out. They trade down and get all those assets. So you have to kind of lump that into the start of the year. They also go and you sign Nate Davis, shore up your offensive line. You pick up DJ Moore, as we mentioned, in that trade. You sign TJ Edwards and you sign Tremaine Edmonds. Now, it's weird because the Bears are inherently better than they were before they made the trade. They're inherently better than they were at 5 p.m. on Friday, right? Yeah. 24 hours later, they are better. However, the Bears are not maybe making the smartest. I don't think that what they're doing is necessarily, I don't think they're spending the money in a way that I would spend it if I had all that cap space. I like the trade in the draft. I think you're paying for off-ball linebackers. You're doing okay. It feels like we're going to come out of this offseason. The Bears are going to be the offseason champions, and people will pick them as a sleeper to win the division. And then we're going to get down their breach and they're going to be all right. They still had a really bad roster and they still have a ways to go.
Yeah, I agree with that. It does feel like they are a winner, but just barely, because you're talking about basically trading Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards you bring in, but you also let Roquan Smith go in that trade. So it's not exactly even, but you're talking about from a financial standpoint that it's pretty similar. And so the thing, though, is that Ryan Poles has to rebuild his roster. So what do? You trade away the number one overall pick. Now you have an extra first round pick in 2024. Like you said, Brinson, you have DJ Moore. You add two linebackers. I think Nate Davis is a pretty underrated signing, a pretty good offensive lineman. And the Bears need that. I mean, we saw Justin Fields running for his life last season. So I do feel like they're on the right track. And has it been a perfect free agency? No, but I feel like teams rarely have perfect free agencies. And when you have this many holes, you just got to add bodies when you can. And I feel like all these guys are pretty good.
And I'll note too, with Tremaine Edmonds, I think it was Over the Cap tweeted out, this contract is basically fully guaranteed after the third day of the league year in 2024. So, he's getting all that money. He's only 25 years old. He's a super athletic linebacker who can fly across the field, sideline to sideline, and is a really, really, really good fit in a Matt Eberflus defense. And so I think maybe as much as we're knocking the off-ball linebacker stuff, especially when you had Roquan Smith, you just kept Roquan Smith and paid him. He was a great fit in there. It does feel like there's some synergy here between the coaching staff and the front office in terms of who they want to go out and get in the open market. And look, Edmonds, first round pick, Buffalo wasn't going to give him this much money. It is a huge contract. The largest ever for an inside linebacker in the NFL in terms of four-year contract. And so as much as the positional value is a little weird, you know, look, the Bears are better. They're spending money. It's anybody who lists free agency winners and losers is going to come away with the Bears listed as a winner because of just like the other thing, too. I think would have been nice. Mike McGlinchey would have been a nice pickup for them, too. You know, would have cost a lot of money, but, you know, the Broncos ended up getting him. We'll get to that in a minute. But I think, you know, Chicago's addressed issues with their defense and their offensive line early on and added a ton of picks. So overall, you know, it's hard not to put them as a winner, Katie.
I would agree with you. And it's so fun, interesting that you bring up Mike McGlinchey, because I also think they're kind of a winner in this. They were a front runner, but he signed with the Broncos a 5-year, $87.5 million deal with $50 million guaranteed. As a as the resident 49ers fan here, I will say he is grossly overpaid with the Broncos. How do you guys feel about the Broncos? Are they a winner with this deal and just in general in free agency so far on the first day? And $50 million guaranteed for McGlinchey. I'm sorry. Preach. Too much.
You know what, Katie, when you're 5-12, you were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. You have to overpay for people. So absolutely. That's what the Broncos went out and did. I don't hate this move though. I feel like the Broncos were definitely a winner here. I thought Ben Powers was the top left guard in free agency, and McGlinchey, you know, maybe he struggled a little bit in San Francisco, especially with his pass blocking, but they're, aren't always right tackles on the market like this. I mean, I think he was the best right tackle in free agency. The Broncos said, all right, let's see what happened last year. Why was our offense so bad? Russell Wilson. Why was Russell Wilson bad? He didn't have any protection from his offensive line. He got sacked 55 times last year. That was tied for the most in the NFL. And of course, there were a lot of other things why Russell Wilson was bad, but that was just one of them. So what do? You upgrade on the offensive line. The two biggest holes on the line were right tackle and left guard. And this fills them right away. And now you can kind of plan the rest of the free agency with everything else is just kind of the cherry on top of the sundae. So I really like these two moves. And you know what? If Russell Wilson looks as bad as he did last year, you throw in the Jarrett Stidham signing and, you know, you got to back up who's ready to play if he has to play.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Sean Payton needs to figure out is Russell Wilson going to be Russell Wilson or is he going to be, you know, last year Russell Wilson, right? And if the answer is he's going to be last year Russell Wilson and you go out and you improve the offensive line, like and there's rumors that they might be willing to trade one of those receivers, whether it's Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, or KJ Hamler. But like if you're Sean Payton here, you got yourself a backup. Now I didn't think that Sean Payton was in love with Jarrett Stidham, but you know, you learn something new every day.
He's the new Taysom Hill.
I guess so. I mean, interesting. I do think, though, that like by going out and improving the offensive line, you already have the weapons there. You have the new coach in Sean Payton. Sean Payton and Breach, I think you pointed this out, is like it's a win-win for Sean Payton with his Broncos job because even if Russell stinks, Sean Payton's like, it ain't my fault. And now it's even more so the case because you've improved the offensive line. You have the weapons. You have the new offense with Sean Payton. You have the great coach in Payton. There's no excuse for Russell Wilson to stink. And if he stinks again in 2023, then it's simply Russ is washed and this is over. And I don't know what you do. I think you still have one more year after that where you kind of have to deal with the contract, but you could conceivably cut him next offseason. And so for Sean, maybe the answer is the winner is Sean Payton here because he has positioned himself where no matter like if Russ is good, then he's the savior. If Russ is trash, then it's not Sean Payton's fault. It's Russell's fault because he's got weapons and I got him the offensive line improved in the offseason. So, and I think too, you look at what Payton and the Saints did what they did in New Orleans, like they were focused on having a really stout offensive line in front of Drew Brees. You always saw that. Again, they once traded Jimmy Graham for Max Unger. You know, they Teron Armstead, they draft Ryan Ramczyk. That was a key priority, especially when you have a smaller quarterback, because you don't want him getting pressured like that. You want him to be able to see and react. So I think Sean Payton, a winner, or if you want to be stringent about it, the Broncos could be a winner.
Well, Dom in the chat says Broncos are trying to trade Sutton, Jeudy, or KJ. Do you think maybe he goes after Michael Thomas from New Orleans?
We've seen Michael Thomas. He's just been beat up the last few years. I don't know that Sean Payton would want to bring somebody like that in this situation that they're currently in. So I don't know that would fit what they're going to be trying to do.
I think Sean Payton and Michael Thomas were like, that was the beef with the Saints. I don't think they like each other. So like, I think so. I don't hate the idea, but I think it's unlikely just because of the simmering beef on the stove between Peyton and Michael Thomas.
I will just go back to what you said earlier about Russell Wilson and what is he going to be when you do go and get someone like McGlinchey. To me, that says maybe you're going to run the ball more because he's much better as a run blocker than he is as a pass blocker. So we'll have to see what we get with that next year.
Well, and Katie, I'm glad you brought that up, because why did Russell Wilson want out of Seattle? Because they wouldn't let Russ cook. And now you hear Sean Payton is slowly building the Seahawks offense in Denver, where, hey, Russ, sorry, buddy, we're actually going to run the ball a lot. We got two great run blockers here. We've got Javonte Williams, who's going to be healthy. You're not going to be throwing as much as I think you want to be throwing.
And you go back and look at the freaking statistics and look at the analytics, and it's very, very obvious that Russell Wilson is one of the best play action passers in football in the last 10 years. I mean, that's when he transferred out of NC State and went to Wisconsin, he ran that play action offense, and he's so lethal on those deep bombs, especially when you're setting it up with the run, that it makes a ton of sense. And go back and look at look at when Drew Brees was in the same sort of age range as Russell Wilson is now. Sean Payton was run heavy as hell in New Orleans. Like he ran the ball a ton. I mean, they had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. I mean, like, this is, you know, they utilized the screen game and stuff like that, but it wasn't Brees in like 09, the back end of his career. I think he probably looks at Russell Wilson and says, we're not going to just let you throw it 50 times a game. We want to run the ball, take some play action shots. And then if we need you to, cook in a no huddle offense, we can do that. But I think if Russ thinks that he's going to be whipping the ball around 50 times a game, he's sorely mistaken.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about Edmonds going to the Bears? That's from Jair.
I liked it. I mean, I like it. It was really expensive, but he's young and, he has not been a consistent performer throughout, he's been very up and down. He hasn't been, and he's still young, 25, been in the league 5 years, which is crazy. He's only 25. He was drafted at age 19. Did he play Vatek, or is that his brother? Either way, regardless, 5 years, never like you, there's definitely ups and downs. And so it will see how that translates on a huge contract like this, but he is a really good fit as an athlete in terms of the Matt Eberflus defense. Sort of, I mean, like a smaller Darius Leonard, maybe.
Yeah. And that's, I think the big part is, and you just said it with, in an Eberflus defense, he clearly felt that someone like Tremaine Edmonds fits what he wants to do on defense better than someone even like Roquan Smith. And that's what a head coach does, is they kind of pick and choose. Say, all right, I like you. You fit the mold of what I'm trying to do better. And so I would think that Tremaine Edmonds will be pretty good in this defense.
All right, guys, it was a very sad day for me in the Mox household, and I'm sure you can guess why. Jimmy Garoppolo signed a 3-year deal, $72.75 million, $24.25 million in year one, guaranteed. I think it's a win for the Raiders, and it's also a win for the 49ers. Obviously, we clear up a lot of that cap space with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know what I'm going to do with this bobblehead over my shoulder. I think I'm going to keep it. I know at this point, people think that my fandom for Jimmy Garoppolo is a personality trait, but I'm not moving to Las Vegas. I'm not going to become a Raiders fan. It is 49ers above everything else. But it's a sad day because Jimmy Garoppolo really gave a lot to the organization. And, it was kind of in shambles before he got there. And,
It is interesting to note that, one, you're wearing all black, it appears, Katie.
Yeah, I'm in mourning.
And two,
thank you for noticing.
Yeah, maybe.
But also silver and black. You're representing Jimmy's new team.
Right. Oh, I didn't even. This is just mourning.
Maybe you should follow the advice of the Rolling Stones and with your bobblehead and just paint it black.
People in the chat aren't thinking that from Carr to Jimmy G, it's not much of an upgrade. I would disagree there, but of course I am a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan. How do you guys feel about this? Is it a win for the Raiders?
I will say, as the person who suggested Jimmy, I think this is a win for Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. This is not necessarily a win for the Raiders. I definitely wouldn't classify them as a winner based on this one signing, especially, it's fair to say, is this much of an upgrade from Derek Carr? Even if you say it's a lateral move, Jimmy's injured a lot. So I don't know that you can call it an upgrade, but Jimmy Garoppolo is a winner because he gets paid. that, you know, money he didn't get last year when he took that pay cut to stay on as the 49ers backup quarterback. So Jimmy gets paid. Jimmy gets to go play for a head coach he's familiar with. He gets to run an offensive system that he's familiar with. And so he gets put in a spot where he can absolutely find success in 2023 with Darren Waller, with Davante Adams, with Josh Jacobs. I mean, they have a lot of good skill players in Las Vegas. So I love this situation for Jimmy. Jimmy is a winner. I don't know if the Raiders are a winner.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things about this is, and look, I mean, you can, I don't think that you can definitively say that Carr is that much better than Jimmy Garoppolo or that Jimmy Garoppolo is that much better than Derek Carr. I think they're pretty even. Like, this is a Kirk Cousins sort of range of quarterbacks. Like, I always said that Jimmy Garoppolo was like the evil Kirk Cousins, you know, like evil, sexy Kirk.
I like the sexy more than the evil, but okay.
Kirk Cousins is like firing up his Traeger and cooking well done steaks. And Jimmy Garoppolo is like dating porn stars, you know, in the Bay Area. And I mean, I think to me, the difference is the Raiders and Josh McDaniels. Like, if you want to say Derek Carr is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better fit with Josh McDaniels than Derek Carr. Like, they played and coached, coached and played together in New England, familiar with the offensive system, knows how to run it. It'll be a seamless transition. You won't have to deal, like, clearly they didn't think that Derek Carr in Derek Carr's defense, he'd been dealing with a lot of different offensive systems in Oakland and Las Vegas. I'll take Jimmy G over Derek Carr. The one big knock here with Jimmy G is that he just hasn't stayed healthy in his career. And the Raiders now, you know, you're putting a lot of eggs in the basket of Jimmy Garoppolo, where we saw with San Francisco when Jimmy G went down, even with Kyle Shanahan in that system and like Nick Mullins and those guys, like they didn't win a lot of games when Jimmy G got hurt. So if you're the Raiders, you know, you have to at least, that's a concern. It's like, can Jimmy G stay healthy? Because if he cannot, then you are suddenly going to find yourself perhaps in an uncomfortable situation, like the back of a Volkswagen. That's for Ryan Wilson. It's a Mallrats quote for those who don't know. Okay, cool.
I don't like malls or rats. I'm just kidding. It wasn't over my head.
The escalator.
Totally different. Totally different. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. But before we do, it's bracket time. So get yours in now on the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join the challenges for a chance to win a new car and trips to the 2024 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling in your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. Day one winners are coming up next here on the Pick Six Podcast.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Talk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Katie Mox, joined here with Will Brinson and John Breach. Don't forget to follow us on social at Pick Six Pods across all social media platforms. Also, CBSSports.com. We are live there as well. All right, we talked about some of the winners, and I do still think that there are some more winners in there, like, you know, the 49ers. So we got someone pretty big from the Eagles. Sorry about it over there, Billy. But speaking of the Eagles, would y'all say that they were a winner or a loser in this? You got Jason Kelce that announced that he intends to return. I would say that that is a win and something that Packers fans maybe wish happened for them. But then they lost someone pretty big to the 49ers. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Javon Hargrave. It's really weird. Like, I feel like every time we talk about Javon Hargrave, like, I'm petrified I'm going to say Vernon Hargraves, just because there hadn't been that many Hargraves in NFL history. But yeah, I mean, look, Javon Hargrave signed a 4-year, $84 million deal with $40 million guaranteed to join the 49ers. It's a huge contract. It was one of the early ones. Yeah, and then look, and then, you know, just to put that into context with the 49ers, who I think win here, you know, you have Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, and now Nick Bosa on that defensive line. And we saw how good they were, you know, when you had, you know, DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead. I mean, this is a beastie defensive line for the 49ers. It's their strength. They're leaning into it. You know, they lose some coaching, you know, lose D'Amico Ryans, of course, but you still have, you know, now in Steve Wilks, a defensive coordinator who likes to be aggressive, who blitzes a lot. And when you have those bodies up front, you can blitz, and you don't have to blitz like a ton of guys. You can send somebody, you know, off the edge, like a, you know, cornerback or a nickelback coming inside, or send a safety, and you can just, there's just a lot of pressure that you can put on quarterbacks. Javon Hargrave second in terms of sacks and in defensive tackle rankings. I think the Eagles are a loser when you just look. We were kind of trolling Billy in Slack, but you know, the reality is the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. And you see this with the Bengals too, right? The Bengals had a great run. We'll talk about them in a second. But a lot of pieces from the Eagles have left, especially on this defense. And it's going to be, they've lost their defensive coordinator. You know, you lose a guy like Hargrave, who was a great signing for them away from Pittsburgh a few years ago. And now he makes bank after he dominates in your defense. I just think it's going to be tough to replicate what the Eagles were on defense last year based on the early returns of their losses. I trust Howie Roseman to do a great job. Getting Jason Kelce back is massive. That is a huge, huge get for them, because that's how, like, he is such a key factor to their run game. But I think, yeah, if you're just looking at the first day of free agency and we're talking about winners and losers, the Eagles kind of have to be a loser, Breach.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a team that lost three starters, not just Javon Hargrave, he's definitely the most notable, because arguably one of the best defensive players in the NFL last year. But when you toss TJ Edwards on top of that, and you toss Marcus Epps on top of that, then it starts to come across as maybe the Eagles defense could be in a little bit of trouble next season. Now, that being said, you know, we knew the Eagles were going to lose a couple defensive players. There's no way they were going to keep everyone. So I don't think they're a huge loser right now, but I do think that things could get a lot worse if they lose James Bradbury and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Ooh. And now we're talking about five starters gone, then they are one of the biggest losers of free agency. But right now I have them like in my loser cup, but maybe I could put them in the middle, not as a winner or a loser, if they retain both of those guys. But if they don't, then they go further down to the bottom of my loser cup.
Well, and it's also worth noting too, like, a lot of these guys that they're, you know, they lose these guys like Bradbury, Chauncey Gardner. I mean, we don't know if they'll lose those two guys yet, but, you know, like, they assembled this defense in a manner that was really efficient and really well done by Howie Roseman. Like, they didn't go out and spend a ton of money on all of these guys. For the most part, they brought together this defense by finding value signings. And so you do have to trust Howie Roseman to be able to do something similar to try and replicate what they have, but it's not easy. You just can't pay all these guys on a defense that leads the NFL in sacks, has the third most sacks in NFL history, and goes to the Super Bowl. It's just not possible to do it.
I want to hear from Billy. I want to know what Billy thinks about the Eagles.
Do you? Like, Billy, here, let me tell you what Billy thinks.
We're going to win the Super Bowl, even though they lost everyone.
Fine. Everything's fine. Everything's great. We're great. Jalen Hurts, baby. Let's go.
We're doing glass half full here.
Oh, yeah. His glass is spilling over at all times. He's like the drunk guy at the bar who cannot stop sloshing his beer. Anyway.
I mean, look, I think Breach and Brinson were correct that we weren't going to be able to keep everybody. But at the same time, you know, you still got guys like N'Kobe Dean, who didn't play a lot of snaps last year, but played a little bit in that Tennessee game and showed some things. But you also have a guy in Jordan Davis who can play down low and kind of keep things together. But you also got a guy in Milton Williams, had 4 sacks last year, you know, was in the rotation, played big snaps for this team. So you just got to trust Howie Roseman, believe that he can maybe possibly still get a deal with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, bring him back as a safety. And then, you know, we kind of just go from there and try to rebuild this defense.
Boom. Glass half full.
So what you're saying is we got a Philly guy on here saying trust the process.
Essentially.
What could go wrong?
Let's see if the Bengals guy can trust the process or feel a little bit better about what's going on in Cincy. Breach.
You know what I'll say is that, I said that the Eagles were barely on my loser radar right now, but would be way on it if they lose Gardner-Johnson and Bradberry. The Bengals aren't on it for me because I never in my wildest dreams thought Jesse Bates was coming back. He was gone. He's been gone. There was no way they were going to pay him even $15 million a year. The Falcons threw $16 million a year at him. The Bengals are kind of in the Howie Roseman school of thought. They're looking always to get younger and cheaper unless it involves Joe Burrow or one of their cornerstone pieces. They'll pay Ja'Marr Chase. They'll pay the guys they need to. But otherwise, you know, they're not looking to spend that money. I actually thought the Bengals, they went out and re-signed Jermaine Pratt. I didn't think that was going to happen. I actually thought he was going to walk away in free agency. He's been a pretty key part of that defense.
Shout out to High Point, North Carolina. Jermaine Pratt, a High Point boy. That's like
another North Carolina
plug. Yeah. I mean, the NC State guy, but he's literally from my hometown. I think I agree with you. Pratt was a great get. And I mean, the Bengals are losers because Breach, they lost 2 key pieces on the back end. Now, can they replace them and figure things out? And do they retain Pratt? Like, I'm not saying that they stink. It's sort of like the Eagles too. Bill, you and Billy are getting so mad.
And Von Bell was the other one. We didn't mention him.
Yeah, Von Bell to the Panthers. I mean, look, the reality is when you lose in that defense, that Lou Anarumo defense, you lose your two starting safeties. Like, that's a big deal. But to your point, yes, they in theory will be able to replace him. I think it's just like on a scale of 1 to 10. What's your panic level for the Bengals here?
I would say it's a 3. I mean, they drafted Dax Hill to take over at safety. They knew they weren't going to be able to retain Jesse Bates. I was surprised Von Bell left. That is not good. I was hoping they would keep one of their 2 safeties. But, you know, remember, Chidobe Awuzie was injured for most of last season. He will be back. So you're getting your top corner back. You still have Mike Hilton. You still have plenty of guys in the secondary. You just have to figure out how to replace Von Bell. You can do that in draft. You can do that in the backside of free agency. So there's still plenty of time for the Bengals to kind of fill these holes. And they don't have as many holes as the Eagles. You know, we're only talking about 2 starters, which one of them they plan to lose. So it's really only 1 defensive starter you're looking to replace.
And it's also when we say losers, we're not like the problem is like when you do losers, like, you know, like people are like you think the Bengals, like, I mean, we don't think the Bengals are gonna go like 3-14 or anything. It's just that, like,
no,
on the first day of free agency, the Bengals lost several key players, and therefore when you're building out winners and losers, the Bengals are a key loser or an obvious loser, I think.
Well, and just real quick to that point, like, the Bengals literally are one signing away from being on everyone's winners list. If they went out and got Jordan Poyer, and I'm just naming random safety names, Jimmy Warder, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, boom, all of a sudden they're a winner. That's one signing. Just one signing.
Boom. I agree. All of a sudden they're a winner. Well, speaking of people that didn't win the day, the Chargers did not sign anyone yet, and their star running back is asking for a trade. Not a great day. I saw that you tweeted, Brinson, basically that Chargers are going to charge her. Is that what's happening? Charger.
Yeah, what are we doing? And by the way, just really quickly, I think that it's worth pointing out, I think I noted this, I don't know if I made the list, but a winner too is, if you're a defensive tackle, like we talk about the Vernon Hargrave signings, Javon Hargraves. Yeah, I did it. Oh my God.
Yeah, they got
Javon
Hargraves. You predicted you would do it, and then you did it 20 minutes later.
Dude, I just knew I'm just capable of doing it. Yeah, the Javon Hargraves signing, he got paid. Who was the other big defensive tackle signing that I'm somehow blanking on that got paid? There are a couple like big
Dobbins signed one.
But
they signed on Yamada.
There was some buzz in the like the agent community that this was gonna be the free agency year where the defensive tackle market got reset, and you see these big old contracts going to defensive tackles, and then you have guys like Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Quinton Williams. Like they're all these younger defensive tackles where, for years, like obviously edge rushers get paid more than defensive tackles. The defensive tackles have gotten these big contracts. That's huge because one, it now resets the market and allows other guys to get paid more. And then two, it makes it a lot more difficult to franchise tag them because now your five biggest cap hits are going to raise up significantly. Whereas usually like Aaron Donald and then like a bunch of dudes below him. Now you have guys who are actually boosting this up and it will allow more of those guys to get to free agency. And so it's a big winner for the defensive tackle, the defensive tackle men out there. As far as the Chargers, like, man, friend of the podcast, Austin Eckler, incredible dude, baller. Like he dominates. Now he's 28 years old. That makes it a little tough to give. For a running back.
Not for us here on the pod, but for a running back, that's old.
No. Yeah, for us here, yeah, that's. I'd cut off.
Long to be 28 again. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 28 again. I guess was I doing this at 28?
No. I'm inching closer to 28, so you know I kind of know the feeling.
So Billy knows. Yeah.
Billy knows the feeling. Sorry, go ahead.
No, please continue.
No, I was just gonna say that like if you lose Eckler, man, like I don't think people understand how critical he is to making that offense go. Like he is good running between the tackles. He is a great pass, like an elite pass catching running back. And there's so many different things that they do with that offense that, especially you think about like the way Kellen Moore maybe used Tony Pollard in a similar style. If they traded Austin Eckler, I think it would be a pretty big blow to that offense.
Absolutely.
Huge blow to the offense.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Can you imagine being a Chargers fan, guys?
Say that again?
I said, just can you imagine being a Chargers fan?
No.
The last time you got to cheer in a game, you blew 27-0 lead. Now you're dealing with Eckler wanting to get traded.
It's like people always hit me up. They're like, man, you're right. Like the way is to get away. Like I was a Chargers fan for like a decade, like 15 years. It's hell on earth.
You were?
Phillip Rivers. Yeah.
You were a Chargers fan?
Love the Chargers. Phillip Rivers was there. Yeah. That was my team. Go Tar Heels. Hey.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm surprised. Hey,
you know where the Tar Heels should go? The Tar Heels should go to the NIT.
So where would you guys like to see Eckler? We got Sim in the chat saying that he would like them to go to the Bills. We got Dom saying the Eagles. If Eckler does not stay with the Chargers, which, by the way, he does not want to be, where do you think? Also, I see going to the Chiefs. He would fit perfectly on the Chiefs as an upgrade to McKinnon and splitting with Pacheco. That would be, I mean, that would just be the rich getting richer.
Yeah, I don't know if the Chargers would trade him in the division. He would be unbelievable in an Andy Reid offense, like outrageous.
Unbelievable.
The Panthers traded away Christian McCaffrey last season. I don't know that they're in the mix for Eckler per se, but it's an NFC team, and they do really, really need some targets and some weapons for whatever quarterback they're going to draft at one. They don't have a lot of draft picks to trade, so that may not work. I think the Bills are at the top of everybody's list because Buffalo has been trying to figure out a way to solve the running back situation there. And, you know, Eckler in that type of offense would be dominant as well. Eagles sure would make some sense, I guess. I think anybody really who doesn't currently have like a true Eckler is one of the true feature backs left in the NFL.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals? You know, maybe they're on the fence with Joe Mixon. He has no guaranteed money. Get rid of him, save $9 million, put all of that towards Austin Eckler. And that would be an interesting fit with Joe Burrow and also throw out the Dolphins. I think they would be a good fit. We saw how Christian McCaffrey, how well he plays in Kyle Shanahan's offense and Mike McDaniel's running something similar in Miami. And I think Eckler would absolutely tear it up in South Beach.
Just Victor like Garcia, Eckler with the Bears. Eckler and Herbert combo back again. That'd be a fun one. I actually like the Bengals spot. All right, guys, we're going to talk. Yeah, you get. What do you feel?
No, Breach threw out a Eckler would tear it up in South Beach just like Brinson, and I almost spit out my, I almost coughed up a lung.
On that note, we are going to take a quick break. You're watching the Pick Six podcast. We're talking some underrated moves when we get back.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bracket season is here. Join the madness by playing the official bracket game of the NCAA. Get the CBS Sports app and be part of the madness.
Welcome back to the Pick Six podcast. I'm your host, Katie Mox, here with Will Brinson and John Breach. This is day one of the 2023 free agency show, so make sure that you join us all week long. And we will keep you up to date with all of the free agent signings. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. All right, guys, let's talk some underrated picks. Patrick Peterson to the Steelers.
You know, the cool thing about Patrick Peterson to the Steelers is, like, if you wanted to find out what Patrick Peterson thought about going to the Steelers, you could easily do it. Whether you want to watch Ryan McFadden on CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming sports network, CBSSportsHQ.com, or if you wanted to watch the All Things Covered podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, you would get all of those answers because Patrick Peterson does a podcast with CBS because he's Brian McFadden's cousin. So it's actually, like, you know, I'm past the point of, like, I don't mind plugging other NFL podcasts at CBS, like With the First Pick with our friend Ryan Wilson, or All Things Covered with Brian McFadden and Patrick Peterson, both very good podcasts. You should check them out. I think it was 14 million for 2 years. Did I see that just come out for Patrick Peterson?
Yes.
That's fine. I mean, you know, the one thing that I think was bandied about in terms of Pat P is when he went to Minnesota, they had him playing a lot more like sort of off man zone stuff instead of playing the pure strict man to man that he'd done for so long in Arizona. He had changed around a little bit when Wilkes got there. And then, you know, with, I think, Vance, anyway, the point being is that the style of defensive play that he did in Minnesota, if they move that over, if Pittsburgh uses the same approach with Pat P, then I think it's a really good signing. 2 years. He says he wants to play 2 more years in the NFL, presumably then retire. Well, I would think a Hall of Famer. Pretty easily. I'm not sure. Ryan Wilson's out here to dunk on us about a Hall of Fame situation, but, if they use him in that role, I think it's a really good fit. You know, and Mike Tomlin and Pat P feel like just an easy combo to pair together.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing about Patrick Peterson is I feel like after 2021, people were like, how much does he have left in the tank? And then he went out last year and had a phenomenal year. I mean, he had 5 interceptions. I think that was tied for the 5th most in the NFL. He's got 34 interceptions in his career. He is just picking off passes left and right. I think that's the most of any active player. And I do think he's going to be a good personality fit with Mike Tomlin, as Brinson was kind of alluding to there. And so you look at what he does, and you're only paying him $7 million a year for kind of a role-playing corner. I think that's a good pickup for the Steelers, as much as I
definitely
hate to say.
Brett McFadden is happy about this as well, as a former Steeler himself, 2-time Super Bowl champion.
That's right. Between all of us and Brian McFadden, we have 2 Super Bowls.
That is true. That is very true. Okay. What about the 49ers? They reach an agreement with a 1-year deal with former Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold. Look, I didn't want it to be Matt Ryan. We were talking about it last week. Sam Darnold is the backup. I mean, sure. I think it's better than Matt Ryan. It's better than a Carson Wentz. I'll take Sam Darnold.
If Kyle Shanahan fixes Sam Darnold and turns him into like a starting caliber quarterback,
okay.
I mean,
Shanahan can fix Sam Darnold?
Dude, Kyle Shanahan, anybody can play in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He fixed like Brian Hoyer. He turned Brian Hoyer into a star.
What if Sam Darnold's not broken? Just look who he's played for. Look at the offenses he's run with and the coaching staffs.
I'm not
saying Darnold's good or anything. I'm just saying I could see a situation where Shanahan flips Darnold's career around.
I mean, Sam Darnold was really good in college and a former number 3 overall pick. Like, he has the pedigree, and he played for a Jets team that was just completely dysfunctional before the Panthers traded for him. And that Panthers team was not exactly functional. I mean, you know, they had a bad offense. I think it is possible. A lot of times I think that it's under Brady Quinn, and I talk about this all the time, is the quarterback and the coach fit is almost like that's the most important thing there is. Like, maybe, and I'm not saying Sam Darnold's gonna
To Brenton's point real quick, Darnold's coaches in his 5 seasons, Todd Bowles, Adam Gase, Matt Rhule.
All right.
I mean, two of the 5 worst coaches in the last like 20 years, right? Matt Rhule and Adam Gase. And
there he is.
Like, Darnold's got a baby face. He's got a baby face. I think Darnold's a friend of the podcast too, actually. After he got drafted, he came on. But like,
kind of looks similar to Brock Purdy. I feel like they could be cousins.
I think they're one coach who could potentially get the most out of, and I don't say this is like Andy Reid couldn't do it. I just think this system where it's you are running the ball a lot, you're bootlegging out. And remember, Sam Darnold was leading the league and leading the entire NFL in rushing touchdowns for like 6 weeks, like 2 years ago. And you just simply have to make good decisions. It doesn't necessarily require like elite athletic player, whatever. I think if Kyle Shanahan can get Brock Purdy to play at a level to get the 49ers to the NFC Championship game, I would not discount the idea that Sam Darnold could have some kind of, you know, rejuvenation or like, you know, like whatever you want to call it. Now, in a perfect world, Sam Darnold never sees the field because Trey Lance is good.
Yeah.
But I think, I also think this is probably a net positive for expectations for Brock Purdy, because this is not a, oh God, we are worried that Brock won't be ready. We need to sign somebody who we know. So I mean, that's a good point Victor makes. Steve Wilkes, you know, switches from Carolina to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Obviously knew Sam Darnold in Carolina.
Yeah, the chat doesn't seem to think that Sam Darnold makes good decisions. I think they think he sees ghosts more than makes good decisions.
Well, it
doesn't matter because Kyle Shanahan makes the decisions for you. That's it. He's going to say, this is who you're throwing it to. Throw it to Christian McCaffrey. That's your first read, your second read, your third read. I don't care what happens. Give him the ball.
Are the Niners the Panthers West? Is that what's going on here? You get McCaffrey and Sam Darnold?
Please.
I'm just trying to make
it. Yeah. Well, but also, Sam Darnold's not a real Panther. He was just there for, you know, what, one season?
He got real pain.
Not the same as Christian McCaffrey that was like a would-be franchise. Well, it's not Christian McCaffrey coming. You know, he was there for a long time. He was one of their franchise guys. I would associate Sam Darnold more with the Jets than I would with the Panthers in terms of just, you know, when I think about him. Okay, let's talk about the Titans here. Andre Dillard agreed to a 3-year with the Titans, $29 million contract. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And, I gotta tell you, man, I don't know I'm not sure what Tennessee's doing.
No one knows. Literally no one knows right now.
They've completely turned over their offensive line in the last few years. You have Ryan Tannehill there, but he's probably there for one more year. You draft Malik Willis in the third round. Derrick Henry's reportedly on the trading block. You got rid of AJ Brown. Your number one wide receiver is Treylon Burks. Robert Woods is gone. You know, Austin Hooper's a free agent. Like, now most of the starters on defense look like they'll be sticking around, but Breach, man, I am having a hard time figuring out a path, as Ryan Wilson likes to say, where the Titans are good on offense.
Yeah, the way this team is constructed, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what they're doing either. I think a lot of people are trying to figure it out. I mean, this team was the favorite or one of the two favorites to win the division going into last season.
They were the one seed 2 years ago.
Right. And now they've just totally dismantled everything. They traded away AJ Brown. They have, I don't know what they're doing on offense. They can't figure out. And Billy sneaks in a former Eagles player being an underrated signing for the Titans. I don't think that Andre Dillard is going to help them very much. So, they let Nate Davis walk. We just saw him sign with the Bears. So, this is just.
Are they tanking?
I don't think Mike Vrabel would ever be on board with tanking. So I'll say no. But it does. If you just watch their moves, it kind of, mm-hmm. My actions are speaking louder than words that, yes, maybe it feels a little bit like that.
Mm. Yeah, Josh in the chat said they're playing for a 2024 number one draft pick. What do you think it feels like to be Derrick Henry right now?
I mean, I think you're wondering, am I going to be on the Titans in 6 months?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, God, if I am, I'm going to get 700 carries this season because Ryan Tannehill has no one to throw the ball to. So I'm going to be the entire offense more than usual. So you're probably a little bit worried.
And look, I will say too, like with that defense, just the way it's constructed, and Vrabel, who I think is a really good coach, and you have Tannehill and Henry, and maybe the offensive line's better than we think, just they come together somehow. It is possible that this team could just win a bunch of ugly games and steal that division. Having said that, when you look at the offensive depth chart, you're like, this is not a feasible path to winning that division or being any good.
Oh, well, the hilarious thing, Brenton, about what you just said is that literally the Titans could be thinking, if we tank, we tank. But they're in such a bad division that you could just stumble into like 8 wins because you're in the AFC South and you're winning the games 12-10 and 15-12. And now you're one game out of the division lead going into week 18, even though you had no firepower on offense, kind of like Tennessee this past season.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
It is weird.
It is weird. All right, guys. Well, anything else that you would like to discuss on day one?
Do we miss anything? Miss anything obvious?
No.
I'll throw out real quick the Patriots trading away Jonnu Smith to the Falcons. I love that move for Atlanta. He's reuniting with Arthur Smith. Jonnu Smith has been in the NFL for 6 seasons. Arthur Smith was his offensive coordinator for 2 of those 6 seasons in Tennessee, and those were his 2 best seasons. I think the Falcons gave up just a 7th round pick. So it was throwaway pick to get a guy who I think will be a pretty good weapon in that Falcons offense, especially because teams are going to be worrying about Kyle Pitts, and that should be opening things up for Johnny. Yeah,
and Johnny Smith, very good at run blocking as well. So that helps with what Arthur Smith wants to do. I would say like the Falcons, you could probably throw in as winners of day one too, if you wanted to, because they go out and get your boy Jesse Bates as well. Josh Dooley points out Chiefs got a new left tackle. They dropped, I think I had Jawan Taylor on my list of winners, so it didn't make it, but like, what did he get?
4 years, 80 million.
4 years, $80 million. Good for him.
Yeah.
What does Orlando Brown want? I mean, obviously more, but I mean, like,
how much more?
I mean, wouldn't you kind of rather just pay Orlando Brown than like go get Jawan Taylor?
We don't run the teams, Brenton, but yes, I agree with you on that.
Well, and the one thing about the Chiefs, too, is like we've seen this. They have done this over the last few years, with the one exception being that the Super Bowl loss to the Bucs, where they just got Mahomes got manhandled and the offensive line was really bad. They have done a good job of churning these sort of offensive linemen, replacing particularly the tackles, and identifying like Orlando Brown wanted out and they were aggressive in going to get him. Joe Tooney wasn't franchise tagged by the Patriots, and they were aggressive in going to get him. They've done a good job of their aggression in terms of the trade in the free agency market on the offensive line and being able to identify guys who would succeed in their system. So it's not unreasonable to suggest that Jawan Taylor, who was, I believe, a second-round pick with the Jaguars a few years ago, could ultimately be a really good player for the Chiefs if you trust Brett Veach, trust Andy Reid, and I definitely trust those guys.
Yeah, I mean, they let Andrew Wiley walk, too, because he signed with the Commanders. So you're talking about trying to replace 2 of your tackles if you're the Chiefs. So maybe we could have listed them as possibly a loser, but maybe not. Both Super Bowl teams can't be in the loser category, right? That's ridiculous.
I would don't pay the Chiefs as losers. That's how you get burnt later.
That is how you get burnt. I take that back. Erase that, Billy.
Well, that's how they tried to paint him that way last year. Everyone thought they were going to have a down year, and ended up coming back and winning the Super Bowl. So yeah, don't poke the bear, which is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, because they're always gonna.
Before we go, speaking of bears,
cocaine bear.
Did you see Elizabeth Banks last night at the Oscars?
Yeah, she was losing her voice, which I felt kind of bad for, but I did like her little bit with the bear.
I empathize with it.
You empathize with the Elizabeth Banks or the cocaine bear?
Elizabeth Banks. I was like, oh man, I feel that. Like, you're on stage. She's like, I'm sorry. But yeah, she had the bear. She was like, if not for visual effects, this is what the bear would have looked like. It was a pretty funny little bit.
It was a pretty funny little moment. Yeah. And the bear had a fun little bit about what was he talking about? The people from Avatar. He thought that those were real people. But
yeah, anyways. That's right.
All right. It wouldn't be the Pick Six podcast if we didn't end things on a cocaine bear note. So we're going to wrap it up there. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. for more NFL free agency coverage. And remember to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page. And for anyone listening to audio only, make sure that you download, follow, and leave a 5-star review. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5-star review. And tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. We'll see you tomorrow.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.